What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
I remember watching the original in theaters, and what I remember about it is that, was it someone had tie-in toys, like either McDonald's or Burger King? And like,
I think it was Burger King.
Might have been Burger King.
I think it was too, because Burger King was black.
Burger King definitely was black.
And then McDonald's became black. They were like, oh, is Burger King black?
No, Bray. McDonald's never became, James, they never became black. McDonald's was like, oh, we're going to have two separate commercials. We're going to have a white people commercial. We got a black people commercial.
I remember it was Burger King.
I remember.
Oh, wait, no.
What was it? Which one?
It was McDonald's.
Okay.
What?
There it is. That's when they were like, listen, we got to be black.
Yo.
It was the promotion for this movie.
They had to start being like, ooh, I remember, like, McDonald's also had the superior toys. I mean, it was just like, that's the Happy Meal you wanted, baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, McDonald's had the eight, it's like each character came on a piece of, like, you know, basketball court floor. And then if you moved it around, they would do a little move.
It was cool. They were cool. Man, I wonder if people still have those. And if
they're probably worth so much money. Oh, it looks like the new movie has it with McDonald's too.
Hell yeah, there it is. Legacy.
There it is. Legacy. I will say this. I guess I was too young to understand the importance of the Space Jam sneaker that became uber popular after Space Jam. I don't think I knew, like, oh, it was worth so much money, blah, blah, blah. I do own a pair now.
Oh, you own a pair now?
I own a pair now. Clear bottom, baby.
Of the...
Not the originals. Okay. I'm poor. I gotta,
I was gonna make a crash joke, but now it's past, so I'm not gonna say it anymore.
A crash? What kind of crash?
Crass.
Oh, a crass joke.
I was gonna tell a joke in poor taste.
You were? I feel like that's not a
joke. Now
James
that I'm
thing.
Talking about it and I've said joke like three times, it's like, was that even gonna be a joke? Or was it just something I was gonna say?
Yo, also, I'm looking at the toys from 1996. It doesn't make sense why everybody got on Michael Jordan style shorts, but Lola got on like bike shorts.
Well, no, because Lola's woman.
She's a girl.
But she's still playing basketball.
Yeah, but she's a woman.
Like looking at these toys side by side, it is a drastic difference in everybody else's.
She wore the uniform jersey in the movie. She's in like jeans?
No, she's in like bike. So her jersey, at least by these toys, are like it's like a crop top jersey and like short shorts. Like she got on like the original NBA shorts while everybody else got on like the Michael Jordan era, like, oh, we baggy style.
Right.
That don't make no sense. I never noticed it before, but I'm like, man, that don't make no sense. The monsters.
I mean, you know, it was like you had a show that this cartoon bunny was a woman, you know, and you had to objectify her a little bit. You just to make it clear.
I mean, that's clearly also when you think about it, that's how you market things to kids. And again, I don't think kids notice stuff like that. But like now being an adult, mm-hmm. it's like this makes no sense. Like legitimately, well,
I feel like there was the understanding of like why is this cartoon hot? Like there was that. Like we didn't necessarily know. necessarily know what that right. like this was only happening with female cartoons, but it was definitely like a, it's weird that this cartoon is hot. Like that, I think was there for me, at least by 96. I would have been 10 at the time. I was like, this don't make, cartoons ain't supposed to be hot.
I don't think I noticed.
I'm not supposed to be attracted to a cartoon.
I don't think I noticed cartoons like that, because I think they always were cartoons. Things didn't get weird for me until Cool World, which that's for a whole nother podcast.
Oh, when did you see that though? Because that movie would have been out by it.
Oh, by now?
Yeah.
What's that?
Cool. Wasn't Cool World like the 80s?
Bray. No. Cool World was 90s. Cool World was like the adult version of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It was like Kim Basinger, Brad Pitt. It's one of Brad Pitt's first movies.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit is for adults.
Oh yeah, good point. Yeah. Well, this one was for like, I watched Showtime After Dark.
Yeah, no, this was like they have sex.
Cool World.
They have sex, and she becomes human.
Yes. But it was in theaters though, so it wasn't like, I mean, it was R rated, but it was like, yeah.
What was it? Was it set in a Space Jam, A New Legacy?
Wow. I need to screenshot Bray's face because he seriously asked the question. Was it set?
Just so you know, man, I can't.
Well, you said it was cool. I'm asking a question because you said it was Cool World. So I figured, oh, World must be set out in Space Jam, A New Legacy.
No. I didn't say Cool World. I said Cool World.
I'm sharing this on the Instagram. Right. This picture is
that does not mean no.
Well, I just figured, I mean, I don't know, like our world is hot, you know, because of global warming. So I figured if it's a cool world, it's got to be somewhere out in Space Jam, A New Legacy. Because our world is hot.
I got to get Gerard's face now, too.
No, man, don't get me. I'm so annoyed. Here's my thing. Because a lot of time I know it's coming, but then it's like, all right, when we get into an actual conversation, you let your guard down because you think your friend is listening to you for a genuine reason.
All right. Well, let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock.
James III.
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
We win!
Uh-oh, the remix!
Yo, I was like, this is fire. I was like the little gospel version of Space Jam. Kirk Franklin in here. I was like, oh, what is
that? That was, that was dope. That really was great. I couldn't believe it.
I was like, ooh, who else was in that?
This sounds like Kirk Franklin.
It was Kirk Franklin, baby. Oh, wait, who else was in that song? Was Chance in it too?
No, he was in another one, but
that was fire.
It was Lil Baby or something like that.
Oh, is that who it was? I was like, whatever this is fire.
I loved it. For those of you who are listening for the first time, this voice that you're listening to right now that you're like,
oh, God.
Sounds familiar. Like,
getting listened to.
I remember when I was in third grade and I had a teacher who just seemed chill, commanding, you know, respectable, but also fun. Well, that's my voice. That's Jonathan Braylock.
You remind them of a teacher?
I'm going
home. Well, you know, like, I'm you know, in third grade. When...
So you remind them of their third grade teacher?
Yeah, your favorite teacher. Your favorite third grade teacher.
All right, cool.
Sticks with you, you know?
No. This voice that was calm before this podcast that now has their blood pressure rising is that of a very angry, and tired Gerard Milligan. Don't nod. Don't shake your head. Don't smile.
I'm James the Third.
Oh.
Wow, James. Wow.
Yep, that's it. Nothing else. No bells and whistles today.
Wow, that was really...
We are a movie review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And today we are reviewing Space Jam, A New Legacy, starring LeBron James and Bugs Bunny.
And Don Cheadle.
No.
And Don LeBron Cheadle. James and Bugs Bunny.
And Don Cheadle. You got to put respect on Bugs Bunny's name.
No. And Rosario Dawson and Zendaya.
How are you going to say that before you say Sonequa Martin-Green? She was LeBron's wife in this.
Oh, also, I'm going to give him his, flowers. So this is a dude I bring up all the time because I know him and we used to audition together, but Chris is in this movie. Tracy from Atlanta. Many people probably would know him by. He was like LeBron's assistant.
He was great,
I guess.
Yeah.
Good for him. I think also there was a couple other famous. Where is it? You know, Wood Harris was in here. We got Anthony Davis in here. Klay Thompson in this jump. Sue Bird in this jump. Draymond Green in this jump.
See, but now with the Draymond Green thing, like I said, I don't remember seeing him.
Wasn't he?
Did I miss him?
He was one of the Goon Squad, wasn't he?
Well, but the Goon Squad was just Anthony Davis, Dame Lillard, Klay Thompson, and then you had the women. Sue Bird. Sue Bird, I was like, where was Sue Bird? Because I remember seeing Nanika was the spider.
Yeah.
And then you had, what's her name?
This also says that he was in the movie, but not as a voice. So he wouldn't have been one of the Goon Squad.
Right. It says as Draymond Green. But I was like, who? I don't remember. Do you remember? I don't remember seeing him. Diana Taurasi. She was the snake.
Oh, that's right. Oh, wow. Maybe they didn't have as many people.
So I was like, who was Sue Bird?
Wait, who was the metal one that came? Was that not?
Oh, was there a metal one?
Yeah, the metal dude. Remember, like,
The metal dude who was super fast and stopping time?
That was Dame Lillard.
Oh, that was Dame Lillard?
Yeah, because remember, there was only, at the start, there was only four of them because it was, the son was the fifth player. Mm. And then it was, Klay Thompson was the wet, hot guy. By the way, we got to talk about.
Wet hot?
Wet hot? Why were they the things that they were?
Come on, man. Wet hat, baby. Wet hat.
It's like, what is it? Because he's a Splash Brother, but why is he wet and hot? Because he gets on fire? I don't know.
Yeah, man. That's the thing. He's both wet and hot. What you mean, baby? They even say it in the movie.
And then why was Anthony Davis a bird?
Because what else is going to match that?
Do they call him Big Bird? Is that one of his?
Yeah, they used to call him Big Bird. Come on, man. I don't know why. I don't know why Nick... How you say her name?
I literally don't know any of this.
Nika.
This is complete. I'm so out of my element. Y'all talking about these basketball stars and like the intricacies of why they were animated the way they were animated.
Well, I got into WNBA like last year, like 2020. And it's almost mainly because of how political they were. But now I'm like, this shit's fire. And I'm trying to get tickets. So anybody got a hookup, holla at your boy. Also, Little Rel is in this movie.
Yeah, Little
Michael
Rel.
Yes. B. Jordan. Gabriel Iglesias. Speedy Gonzalez. Also, big shout out to this dude who I met once in my life. Eric. What's Eric's last name?
Bowser.
Yes.
You met him?
Eric. I met him once in my life randomly. When I first got to LA, we were doing astronomy.
Neka Ogumike is how you say it. Neka Ogumike.
But the cool thing about Eric, though, Eric does like five voices in the movie. He doesn't do Bugs in the movie, but they have a new Looney Tunes show coming out, and he is the voice of Bugs. And I think he may be the first person of color to portray Bugs. It's only been like six people.
Yeah, Kat was like, he's the first Asian man to play Bugs. And I was like, the first Asian man to play Bugs? Like, how many people have played Bugs?
It's been six.
What?
It's been six.
Yeah, like that's...
Six or seven.
I would also believe first person of color, if that is true as well.
I think he... I didn't know he was first Asian. I thought he was the first.
Well, yeah, person. That's what I mean. That's what was confusing about it. I was like, there's no way a ton of people.
I mean, if he's the first person, he's still the first Asian.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He is still the first Asian. But I was like, oh, why is that what people are saying? You know, just that. It's like, no, he's like, he's the first non-white person. Like, he's broke the barrier for everybody, you know.
But there's a lot of people in this movie, man. It's crazy.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and I mean, yeah, it's Space Jam. They got the cameos. They got Sarah Silverman and Steve Yeun, and Michael B. Jordan makes a very funny
that
cameo.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
Also, the fact that he started quoting Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was great. That was great.
I was like, yo, this is such. You have to be a fan of Michael B. Jordan to know why this is really funny. Funny to me.
Yeah. And I think Cedric Joe, the kid, Dom, I thought he did well, too.
He was great.
I like that kid. He could act.
He was great.
Anyway, we've already kind of started talking about this movie, but just real quick. Well, you know we got to talk about Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. No, we don't.
It does have a 31% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
What
81% audience score.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Because critics are haters.
The original Space Jam had a 44% Rotten Tomatoes and a 63% audience score.
Ooh,
spicy.
Now it's been out longer, so you know, the audience score might probably will come down, but for now it's pretty high for Space Jam: A New Legacy. And then box office, I mean, this did come out simultaneously in theaters and HBO Max, so box office is not, you know, quite that. But let's see.
But it's number one, baby. It's number one.
It made about $24 million. It says box office.
Yes, yeah. and it should top off at 32 by the 32. End of the weekend.
Yeah,
yeah. It should be 32. Like 32. And like LeBron said, "Hi haters, what's Gucci?" Y'all said we was getting washed. We ain't get washed. Because everybody said going into the projections where Black Widow was going to come out on top. But also, I'm like, Black Widow is a feminist movie. Like, men are still sexist. So that movie was never going to do great to you.
Wait a minute.
That's why. That's the reason.
Don't do that.
That's the reason. It's not because it's the second weekend that Black Widow's
I'm not saying Space Jam is a bad movie. I'm not saying Space Jam is a bad movie. What I'm saying is the moment I watched Black Widow, I was like, oh man, this movie's dope. I'm like, this is a strong feminist movie. Fanboys don't be going for this. Fanboys don't be going for stuff like that.
Did you hear that, Hollywood? Don't bet on women because people that are anti-feminists are not going to support.
They always hate. Literally, I read most of the reviews after Black Widow, and I'm like, yo, for me, I really like that movie. We're talking about Space Jam. But I was like, it was such a strong feminist movie. I'm like, yo, fanboys usually will hate on like anything that shows like oh, strong women. They be hating, man. Like, I mean, you're on the fan side. I'm like, yeah.
That's not a false statement. That haters be.
I'm not saying that's the reason why Space Jam did well. I'm just saying, like, after seeing Black Widow, I'm like, that movie. No. I was just saying how strong the feminist movie it was. Like, yo, I can't see, like, unless a bunch of women took more daughters, I can't see all the fanboys who normally hate on everything that's like female driven be like, oh, we got to see this twice. Because they be hating. They do.
Yeah. I still also think the box office is crazy still.
Bruh, it's never going to be right. It's never going to be right. It's done.
Anyway, but that's what we got. So, yes, it seems like Space Jam, A New Legacy has done well at the box office, especially considering, you know, opening on HBO Max for free. Shall we do initial thoughts? Initial thoughts for Space Jam.
I mean, I can go first. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I know that there's a lot of hate spewing on the internet. I had a really good time. There's a lot of.
I believe on Twitter you said it's a perfect movie.
Well, yeah.
Did
sure.
you? You already spoiled your review?
Huh? Yeah, I always do. I always do if I really like it and people are talking trash about it. I always do. But Yeah, like, yeah, I know. I called it perfect, which of course is hyperbole, but I really liked it. I thought it was very well made. Like, I don't think that movies need to have five story by and six writers. I don't think that needs to happen because there's already so many cooks in the kitchen. But I guess with a, you know, with execs and other producers and what everybody else is attached,
And that's a sequel,
and it's a right, and this is a sequel, so there's so much about it. You know, I don't know. So like, and I do think it suffers from that a little bit. It suffers from like having a lot of heads, a lot of cooks in the kitchen. But I only had a couple problems with it in terms of like flow. Beyond that, you know, and like storytelling that like mirrored the first one that like could have been stronger or flipped in a different kind of way. But like beyond that, like I had a lot of fun. I loved the gratuitous Warner Brothers stuff, because that always just feels like that's one of the big criticisms that I'm seeing, is that people are like, oh, Warner Brothers, blah. It's like, well, yeah, but that's what this is. Like they were like in the 90s, they were like, man, nobody's watching these Looney Tunes. What if Michael Jordan played a basketball? You know what I mean? Like, so mm-hmm. I don't know. I had a good time. I thought Don Cheadle was.
Did you like Ready Player One?
No, I didn't love it. I didn't love it. I didn't love Ready Player One. There was,
and that was also Warner Brothers, right?
Was it? Let me look.
I don't know. Maybe. I feel like a lot of the characters crossed over, right? Like Iron Giant's in it. Yeah. And like,
I didn't have a sequel coming out today.
No, I didn't like that as much. But that was, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. I can't say why I liked this better than that. Maybe this just had more nostalgia for me because it was also Space Jam, you know, which was something that I loved so much.
And this also had more than one black person in it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just only had Lena. But yeah, I really like the. I mean, I'm excited to like go back and like look and see what little Easter eggs I missed, and I'm more excited to do that with this than I was with Ready Player One. And I know I missed a million things in Ready Player One as well. So I don't know. I don't know what the difference is, but I did have a lot of fun watching this. I thought the kids were great. I thought Chris was really funny, and I thought LeBron did a great job. Like LeBron deciding to be like,
oh, it is.
LeBron deciding to like lean in on like. Maybe he's like this hard ass who's like really stuck on fundamentals, which I know is kind of takes where Jordan was to like another degree in this movie. But the fact that he started at like such a like, I'm, you know, like not likable right now with how I'm treating my kids. I really liked that for the journey that he went on. Right. Yeah. So that's me. I'm not going to like, you know, yes, I said it was perfect. Like, there are things wrong with it, but like, I really had a lot of fun.
Look, man, I'm gonna be honest with everybody. I didn't want to watch this movie. I didn't like the trailers. I don't like the jersey. I don't like the shoes.
You don't like the jersey?
Jersey's
I mean,
fire,
it kind of grew on me, but I'm like, no.
It's fire.
I think the jersey's better than the old jersey.
It is. You know, maybe it grew on me. It was just like, I could match stuff with the old one. You know what I mean? Like, you got the white, the blue, like, you know. So watching this movie, going into it, look, man, I'm going to be real with y'all. I'm going to be straight up.
Yeah, what is it?
This movie's a masterpiece. All right. It's a fucking masterpiece. All right. It is a goddamn gift to everyone who saw it. All right. And let me tell you why. One, I am 100% here for all of the Warner Brothers stuff. I didn't realize almost everything I liked was Warner Brothers. Like, I know I watch HBO Max more than any other streaming service. Mm-hmm. Batman, Warner Brothers. Matrix, yeah. Warner Brothers. Harry Potter, sure. Warner Brothers. That's okay? Right. I'm looking at this joint. Dude, there is a shot in this movie with the Adam West Batman, okay, Catwoman, and Eartha Kitt Catwoman, and Batman has got both of them, and he's like dancing. They one on each side. Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
I didn't even see that. That's amazing. I'm looking
at the mask is hanging out.
The mask was there. Yeah, I saw that.
He's with 1960s Penguin, but also 1992 Penguin is in that
jump. I didn't even see the 60s Penguin. This is amazing. I can't wait to watch this basketball sequence again.
Much stuff. I'm looking at this jump. There's a scene, which should not be in this movie.
With the It.
With It. And then it's not only It, but like, is It, it's the gremlins, and then like behind them it's the Clockwork Orange dudes. And I'm like, this scene should not be okay, but you know what? We're here. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're here. Also, Don Cheadle is having the most fun he's ever had, I can tell. The plot, you know what? I'm gonna say this. The plot is better than the original Space Jam. They actually show off the Looney Tunes in more of a Looney Tune way, so we get like what makes them special more in this movie than the old one. LeBron's acting isn't great, you know, by any means, but it's still better than Jordan's was. honestly, yeah, man. Like, I genuinely like it. And also, I do love that they switched it to a father-son story. You get a good father-son story, I'm here for it. This movie was the equivalent of, I think I can fight my dad and win. That's what this movie was. It's like, mm-hmm. I think I can beat my dad. And then all of a sudden, instead of them fighting it out, it's like, oh, no, man. I love you, son. I'm sorry. I forgive you. And then we kumbaya. I'm here for it. Masterpiece, right. Braylock. I'd watch it again.
There we go. Is Space Jam a new legacy? Here's the thing. Did I see Space Jam, the original movie, in theaters when I was a kid? Absolutely. Was I the most excited about that movie than I had been for any other movie up until that point? I believe so, yes. Why? I loved basketball. I loved Michael Jordan. I loved Looney Tunes. The idea that I could see a human being with Looney Tunes at the same time blew my mind. And then they did that. So the nostalgia factor of me loving the original Space Jam is always going to cloud our judgment, right? Mm-hmm. This movie, at the end of the day, I do think is more for kids than it is for adults. But I think they did a really good job, especially in terms of the storyline and the themes. Like, it did have, I feel like this movie tried harder to have one, a character arc for LeBron, more so than like Michael had. And it had like really interesting themes that were like good for children to learn. Like, hey, sometimes working hard is good, but like if you take the fun out of the thing, then like it's not worth it. And like also you don't have to be exactly who your father is. You can do your own thing, you know? And what makes you unique and special is actually what is great about you, you know? And that's the whole diversity thing. It's like they let the Looney Tunes be loony, let them do their own thing, let them be them, you know? So I loved all of that. At times I thought the plot was a little more complicated than it needed to be. Like, there's something about the simplicity of the original Space Jam that is a little nice, you know, where it's just like some weird space aliens want to capture the Looney Tunes as slaves for their amusement, and they challenge them, and Bugs Bunny tricks them so that they could challenge them to a basketball game, but instead they steal the powers of other basketball players, and you know they're in trouble, so they have to get Michael Jordan, and that's that. This movie, it's like there's an algorithm that is sentient and all powerful and can digitize humanity into the serververse, and is doing this because it wants recognition. And then it is forcing LeBron James, and he has to go to the Looney Tunes. Oh no, he's just forced to go to the Looney Tunes world by the bottom algae rhythm. Because they're the quote unquote bottom of the barrel. The movie also was weirdly like a sequel and not at the same time. Like, there were several references to the original movie, but then also it didn't play out like a sequel, even though the actual original Monstar aliens are in this movie. I was like, what? So there are definitely like script parts where I was like, oh, this was rough. I'm glad you guys loved Don Cheadle. I thought he was okay.
I loved him.
I didn't blame him, but there were some parts that felt tough. But also his character was, I don't know. I mean, It was insane.
It's an insane character.
It's an insane character. And he had to act by himself for like half the film.
All of it. He has some line reads where I'm like, yo, this was a trash line and he is trying his best. It was a line where he was upgrading the kid and he goes, what did he say? It was like, I can do. It was like some long line. It was like anything. And you could tell every word he tried to make sound different, but it was just a basic ass line. And I'm like, you know what, Don Cheadle? This is why you got an Emmy nomination for 2 minutes of work, because you're fucking fantastic.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl though, sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
My friend Kyle suggested picturing Tim Meadows in the role, and I was like, yeah, that would be, there's something different. There's something different about a comedian taking this role than, I know Don Cheadle has comedic sensibilities, like he's obviously been able to do comedy adjacent stuff, but like it would have been interesting to maybe have like an actual comedian. But that said, it obviously Don Cheadle's great, and you know, but yeah, I thought this movie was fun. It's still, you know, I'm a 90s kid, so I'm always going to love the original Space Jam. But I think that this movie will be great for the new generation. That's what this movie is about. It's a new legacy. It's LeBron.
I don't know, man. You don't sound too convincing to me. But it's all right, people, because I'm going to talk about this masterpiece.
I'm not a part of the new generation. That's the whole man. Thing.
This is my thing. This movie, I agree with you. Like, it is tough because, like, if you didn't grow up with LeBron, like, if you grew up before LeBron, even if you grew up post-Jordan, but Kobe era, it still would feel a little different. But I do like the Easter eggs to, like, Warner Brothers stuff. Like, I feel like our generation is the generation that made Harry Potter really popular. You know, maybe, like, I feel like we did make The Matrix popping. Like, I feel like it bordered the gap of people who are older than us, our age, and people who may be a little bit younger. I mean, Space Ghost was floating around in this show. You ever watching Space Ghost on, like, Cartoon Network, yeah, like, late at night? I had no clue that was a real cartoon until much after.
It's tough because, like, because Ready Player One kind of did all this already, so it didn't feel unique to me. It just was like, yeah, Warner Brothers did make Ready Player One. So it was like, Warner Brothers has literally already done this. They've already made a movie. And that movie had built into it why there is every single Warner Brothers property in it. You know, it's like a movie about, like, a huge giant video game and people living inside the game purposefully. Whereas this was like, it wasn't actually connected to the story. It was just like, it was fun, though. I'm not denying that it wasn't fun. It was definitely fun. It just wasn't new.
Did
you see Ready Player One?
I saw it. I enjoyed this more than Ready Player One.
Maybe because it wasn't connected to the story.
But you know what it is? Ready Player One, like, I saw it, and I think the problem maybe, I don't know, maybe that's something I can figure out. But there's something about, like, Ready Player One all felt fake, even though this movie was a bunch of Looney Tunes characters. You know what I'm saying? And maybe it's because,
but it's, they were like people in costume. Like,
I know, but, like, yeah, that's what I think is funny. It's like, you think you felt Ready Player One felt fake, but in this movie, they literally had just random extras dressed up as, like, kind of like the characters.
They were extras. You know what it was?
I was like, what is going on?
Because you know what is so funny? I think maybe because, Ready Player One. Yeah, they had the Batmobile. They had the DeLorean. They had the Iron Giant in that one scene with the race. But maybe because we had to care about the Looney Tunes. It's funny because I both of them, you're right, Bray. Both of them did the same thing. Just one felt fun and one felt like, all right. I don't know. It's like,
wow.
Like, I had no fun with Ready Player One. And I went to a Ready Player One immersive thing. It just felt, you know what it was? It didn't feel like, I think of what it is. These felt like cool Easter eggs, whereas the other ones felt like, isn't it cool we put all this stuff in here? And it felt like we're trying to make it make sense. But at the end of the day, it's like, there's no reason this person has to have a DeLorean to race this thing. There's no reason you have to have a knife. It's like, the main character didn't have any, like, old retro thing to him. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's the mere fact that Ready Player One was trying to link all of that extra stuff into the plot of the movie, and Space Jam really wasn't. Yeah. It was just like, they're all here because it's the Serververse.
Right. Yeah. It's it's the appeal of, like, Wreck-It Ralph and stuff like that, where it's just sort of, it's more like, you know, they're just here. And, like, isn't this a cool reference? Instead of, like, being like, everyone's choosing this video game character. I don't know. I can't. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, man, I just didn't like that shit.
Same. I'm like,
where was the black people in Ready Player One?
The whole
Where
server
was Bugs Bunny in Ready Player One?
The whole Serververse, we ain't getting that one black person. And when we saw the black person, we got one. And then for the most of the movie, we thought she was, like, some big gargantuan thing until, like, midway through the third act of the movie, it's like, oh, you're a black lady. Let's not talk about Ready Player One. Screw that movie. We're talking about the black starring Space Jam.
That's true.
With almost every black lead in this jump. I'm talking about this black ass movie, not the movie that won't put black people in it unless they in a goddamn costume and then for 5 minutes they get to be black. I ain't talking about that movie. I'm talking about this black ass movie.
I did think it was interesting. I mean, I guess we'll go through it from top to bottom, but I did think it was interesting that this time they animated LeBron, and I imagine that was a time commitment thing. more than
two
or money or a money thing.
It took, I remember, because little plug, and this is just so people, because people be researching them and DMing me. Yes, I have technically worked for Spring Hill. So I will say I like this movie outside of Spring Hill. I like this movie outside of Spring
Hill.
Who
knows that deep about you?
Nah, man. someone DM'd me.
I forgot you worked for Spring Hill.
Someone DM'd me once and was like, didn't you work for such and such? And I was like, yeah, but that don't mean I know them or I like it. I don't know LeBron. I don't know any of them. But I'm saying this movie's good, but I do know it took them like 2.5-3 years to get it done because it was a full, like, quarantine helped them. It was a full year. I think in 2019 is when they wrapped filming.
Yeah.
And all of 2020 was like just animation. Just animation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did like it because it set it apart,
mm-hmm, yeah,
from the original Space Jam. And also it was fun. The cartoon sequence. Was fun. I liked it way more than I liked the when they got upgraded and they were forced to be like those weird.
It was funny that they were CGI so characters. Mad that they yes. were mad that they got upgraded yes. that way. I thought that was yeah. a really good like dig at
that's
the trolls.
True. At least
like,
they were yeah. At least they were like, ew, this is gross. Yeah. It was like, and I was like, okay, it's funny because it's like you, the movie, did this, but then you're like commenting on yourself, being like, the only reason this is happening is because the bad guy wants it to happen. Like, yeah. isn't this bad? And we're like, yeah, it is bad. And they're like, the characters are like, yeah, this is bad. And we're like, all right, I guess that makes sense.
You will pay ugly. For what you've maybe, done to us.
Maybe it was cheaper because if they wouldn't have upgraded them, the whole game would have had to be cartoons. So maybe they would have had to animate everybody else. Like all the hidden characters would have had to be like cartoons and stuff, which maybe takes longer.
Well, I know that it just can take time to match, you know, one thing with the other, you know, to match the live action people with the animated people. And they still had to do that, but they didn't have to do it as much, you know. And then like every time Don Cheadle's it was mostly like Don Cheadle interacting with that little thing that was floating around with him. Then it was like LeBron with the Looney Tunes because they animate LeBron for the first half, you know.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't like that thing.
I liked it.
It felt so lazy.
Dude. I liked it.
It was like, I think the laziest part of this movie was like, I was like, you guys really couldn't come up with a actual side character to
right.
that was fun. I don't know. I just felt like they're like, what if it's just, I don't know, like a floating kind of robot thing that just doesn't speak?
He felt like the
and
Q-tip.
Like, what?
He felt like the
clip art from
it would have been much better to have Clippy.
It was funny
Clippy
when Don Cheadle
way more personality
to
than
him.
What that thing was.
I liked it.
You liked it?
When he had
really?
Bad teeth.
Did you like it?
I thought it was funny when Don Cheadle spoke to him. That was it made it worth it that he also could be like, bah, 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 and like they had a language. That was funny.
Here's my thing is that kind of stock character is in so many movies. And I feel like that relationship in and of itself is funny, but that thing wasn't as funny as it could have been. And therefore it was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like there are so many funnier versions of that specific like interaction.
Yeah.
Even in the original Space Jam, like just having like a little pipsqueak alien with Danny DeVito as that monster thing being like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Fine. You guys, you liked it.
No, I mean, it was, you're not wrong. I don't think you're wrong in your description of this character. It just didn't like that. It's only me thinking about it now. That you're saying that I'm like, oh, you know, I guess he's right, you know. But while I was watching it, it was like, oh, this is.
Yeah. I think fine. Literally yeah. 5 minutes into it, it was like either you're going to realize this is a kid's movie or you're going to hate every aspect of this movie.
And, yeah.
And it was like I had to make an actual decision of like, hey, man, like literally I was like, I told my girlfriend is so like, yo, man, I don't know if I watched First Kid again. I know we did it for the podcast, but I'm like, is that good or do we just like it? I'm like, this is a kid's movie. Is it good or should it just be entertaining for kids? Like, what do I want to do here? Like, I remember seeing people on Twitter being like, it's not a basketball movie. I'm like, it's fucking Space Jam.
Also,
yeah, of course it's not a basketball movie.
Space Jam.
Also, I was expecting Because there was the dude, the stat, whatever that stat account was like, was put together the stats of like how many shots Michael Jordan made versus how many shots LeBron makes in this. And so I was expecting, and it's dwarfed. Like Jordan made like five times more shots than LeBron did.
This thing was counting how many shots they made in the Space Jam
in the
movie.
Yes, yeah, in the Space Jam movie.
Yes.
I don't know this account, but people were sharing it. That's all. I was so expecting, knowing that going into the movie, I was like, oh, there's going to be like very little basketball in this. But because they're playing a basketball video game and then they actually play basketball in the movie, it felt like there was more basketball in this movie than there was in the first Space Jam to me. You know, like I was expecting there to be like none, like no basketball.
I think this movie is longer for sure. And I do think there is more just in terms of that, like this movie, just in terms of length, this movie has more basketball in it.
So like what?
Well, it doesn't have more real basketball though, because the original Space Jam movie, we get to see. And honestly, it's one of my favorite parts of the original Space Jam movie. And I was kind of upset that like in this movie, it's just them like, it feels like everyone filmed this on a green screen like that. Like, yeah. Every single person, like, you know. And so like they had like, when we see the actual basketball players, we don't get to see them being good and cool. They're just like kind of shooting around on some random basketball court. I don't know. On some charity thing, it seems like. And like, whereas in the original Space Jam movie, they're like in the middle of a game, like an NBA game, Charles Barkley versus Patrick Ewing. And then they get their powers sucked from them and then they can't play. Yeah. And that whole sequence in the original Space Jam movie is actually very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't get that. And it's fine. I get it. You can't like just duplicate it again. But it would have been, I don't know. Figured out another way to do something like that. That would have been fun.
Yeah,
but,
you're right. Cause they don't really talk about the players at all. I mean, I will say the difference is it's like,
they barely talk about the players.
Yeah, like there's no talking to them. It's really about like every cutaway from LeBron was to his son. And this movie, when I was watching it, I was like, this isn't a sequel to Space Jam. This is a sequel to Hook. Like, this is just Hook. It's like,
you're 100%. It feels like Hook. You're right. It's like, I think
it's the same setup
kind of story.
It's like literally all we needed to do was have, instead of the scene where like, the bad guy gives him all like upgrade yourself, we just needed a bunch of other like random robot creatures to be like screaming, Dom, singing a song. That's my boy, Dom. Matter of fact, I think even Don Cheadle calls him son in this movie. Yeah. I'm like, ooh boy.
Yeah, he does.
I like, this is just the same movie. But I like Hook.
LeBron calls his own son, like maybe one too many times. There's a part of me that was like, if my dad kept calling me son, I'd be like, Dad, what are you doing?
Like, am I really not your son?
Why aren't you saying my name? Like, did you forget my name? I did like, what I will say is I did like the whole video game aspect of like, because it made sense. Like I liked the fact that this son was like super into video games. The establishing of LeBron as like, you know, pushing his son too hard. It felt very black to me. Like you had this father who was pushing his son too hard because that's what happened to him when he was younger, you know, where of course we have, what's his name as the coach, Wood Harris, as the coach in the beginning. And I remember like when Wood Harris is like, that's what you have to do to be the greatest, you know, like you can't play video games. And I was like, man, that is harsh on this little boy.
It gets even harsher because he goes, if you can be good at this, you can change the life of you, your mother.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, and that's what they say, man. It's like,
he has so much responsibility as like a child, but it's real. It felt real.
So real.
It felt real to LeBron. You know what I mean? And I love that. I will say this, I respect LeBron so much because this movie, he really allowed for all the different criticisms and all that stuff to be in the film and like some of it to be real for his character, right? Mm-hmm. Like the fact that he coaches all of his teams, they made multiple jokes to that. Yeah. Like I think at one point somebody was like, don't talk to me like that, I'm not your coach.
Yes, Daffy said that, and then later on right before the game starts, Bugs goes, oh, you're one of those players.
Yeah. Like they, I love that they were like, he like poked fun of himself for like being over dom, like, you know, domineering. And also like the fact that he does it, he realizes like, okay, yes, this is what I was forced into. And like, it did get me to where I am and I'm grateful for that. But that doesn't mean that, you know, he finds out eventually, obviously through the film, that that's the same thing for his son, that he shouldn't have to push his son like in the same way. Cause like when Dom is like, you make me hate basketball, that's like, whew, you know, but it was just so real. So I will say like the original Space Jam never comes close to anything that that feels that real.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That shit ain't got no plot. Like, what?
Yeah, the plot is saving the Looney Tunes. That's the thing, is the original Space Jam is about saving the Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah.
And this movie is about, even though they eventually do also have to save the Looney Tunes because they'll be erased from the serververse if they lose, this movie is first and foremost about saving his son and then his family and then the Looney Tunes and
the world.
Millions of people
in the world. Who randomly are there now.
It's funny because it's like it already had the stakes and they were like, what if we just keep adding to it? And it's like LeBron has to save the world, even though at the end of the day he only still cares about his son.
Because also it's like, where are these random people? Like, they took flight attendants off the plane. I'm like, yo, this feels unsafe.
Yeah, I mean, this movie doesn't touch the fact that there is an algorithm that has the power to digitize human beings.
Yeah.
Just through a camera. And also this algorithm can listen and it can tap into seemingly anything.
Any device.
any device
with a camera or a microphone.
Not just the Warner Brothers devices, you know.
Also, all they did was win, like, the game, right? Like, the algorithm didn't...
He didn't go away.
That's what I'm saying. All they did was win the game. I was like, what's to stop this algorithm cheating? From... I don't
he
know.
He was like, posterized, and so we were supposed to think that he can never get out of that poster, but...
No.
I've seen
That's
him do
true.
So
he was
much.
Posterized.
You saw him literally cheat 2 minutes earlier, and they were like, he's cheating. I do love that he had this game, because you know what it was, man? Brett, you probably definitely played this. Like, I used to love not only NBA Jam, but NBA Street. Do you remember when NBA Street came out?
Yeah.
I forgot. Was it EA Sports? Whoever does NBA 2K are straight haters. Like, they apparently NBA 2K, whatever company's behind that, like, did some bid with the NBA, so now NBA Street can never come back because NBA Street used to use actual NBA players in their likenesses and had the license to do it. This movie felt like, oh, what if you took that game and we just played that game? Which was so fun. I love that kid could play the game. And honestly, I did enjoy. I have one gripe. This movie goes to DC World and shows Superman. You showed Superman.
Yeah. Well, they became Batman and Robin.
Yeah, they also already
just
showed
to get
it, Batman.
Just to get in that joke.
They showed Batman in the presentation.
Not this, no. You go there, the Justice League shows up, and it's the old one, too. It's the old one, which is the best one, when Aquaman has the hook for a hand, all right? And I'm like, this is fire, and then Batman just don't drop down?
By old, you just mean the Justice League that happened when we were kids. It's not actually
the old one is super fresh. That's ancient. We old, nigga. Okay. I'm talking about the one that came out like 15, 20 years ago, Brady. It's old. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You're talking about
No. I'm talking about the one we watched.
Is an older one, is all he's saying.
I'm talking about the ancient one that came out 40 years ago, Bray. I'm talking about the one that came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that Justice League is awesome.
Yeah,
that Aquaman is awesome.
Is awesome.
It was, well, you know, they had that little, because I feel like they called LeBron Batman and Dwayne Wade Robin at some point. And so LeBron is Robin and Bugs Bunny is Batman. A little joke in there. There were some good, here's the other thing about this movie, I will say. I want to know who had the final edit for some of these things, because there were some jokes that were legitimately like very funny, and then there were some that I was like, what? Like when LeBron first like they see the weird server bubble thing and he goes, what in the Matrix hell? I literally turned to Tessa and I was like, why couldn't they write him a better joke?
What is this? Because he needed to reference the Matrix again. The Matrix needed to be referenced again, and that was it.
What in the Matrix hell? It's like, we're going to literally see a scene from the Matrix. You don't need to reference it. We're going to see a scene from it where Trinity is out and Granny's in.
What if he would have said, like, what in the Ready Player One? Like,
that would have been better. Yeah. That doesn't matter.
What in the Ready Player One?
I mean, the hard part is this. And the thing is, I'm talking about actor LeBron James, not, you know, school making superstar NBA player. Acting LeBron James, I think, was good in Trainwreck because he was surrounded by comedians. They gave him jokes to deliver in this movie, and I was like, and he had to be scared at certain points. I was like, oof, man, thank God I like you, LeBron, because some of this is rough, baby. Some of this was rough.
Hey, I got to say, though, that man really tried. Like, I can feel it, you know, like, at the end, like, when he was trying to get everybody hype with the Looney Tunes, like, I could see him, like, really trying.
And honestly, like, if I put this performance next to Michael Jordan's performance, it's like, it's good.
There's one point something happens when he was talking to his son with the emotional part at the end when he was basically saying, son, I love you. I was like, yo, he's giving it his all. And I'm looking at the kid and the kid is like eyes watering up. And they cut back to LeBron, and then they cut back to the kid, and they don't cut back to LeBron for some of the dialogue. And I was like, this is a good director, man. This good director is like making sure LeBron's best parts are in, but he's seeing not the kid doing all the emotional work. And it's like, I'm going to show you this kid. Then I'm going to cut across to show you the woman from The Walking Dead, because she's tearing up. Then I'm going to cut back to LeBron, and then we're just going to see
her. You can call her the woman from Discovery. Star Trek.
Oh, well, she I don't know. I don't know Star Trek. Is she on Star Trek?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know. Good for her. Oh, she's the lead. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, she's the lead. Yeah.
Michael. Good for her.
I did like, there was another joke though that I liked that he had. The algorithm's black or the computer's black, whichever that line was. That was so funny.
That was funny. Wait, that's what Dom said.
Dom says I can see that. But like,
Didn't LeBron
which
say
one
that?
Says it? So
doesn't LeBron go?
I thought Dom said the algorithm.
Doesn't he go, son, the computer's black? Like,
yes.
You're right. That is LeBron. Yes.
Yes.
Son, the computer's black. Yeah, that was funny. There was another line in there too when they first met. I can't remember it. But I was like, oh yeah, see? I was like, okay, so they could write good jokes. It's just somebody got in their corny jokes, though. I don't I don't know. Like, there was one person writing good. I just felt like there was somebody writing some good jokes. There was somebody writing some trash jokes, and the trash jokes still stayed in because that person had seniority or something.
There were six writers in this. I feel like something like What in the Matrix Hell could actually be like a WB exec being like, you know, we approve What in the Matrix Hell, you know, like that's the joke to put in the
thing. I mean, I really do think this was like, I mean, she, like, I love the one thing I thought was going to happen is I thought, how do you say her name? Sokuya? The woman from.
Sorry, no, I'm not laughing at that. I'm reading the quotes. You know how like some to IMDb puts quotes from the movie on here, and then one of the quotes is Fred Flintstone yabba dabba
no so delete this delete this
he was in oh he was in it
I was like, how are you gonna put that as a quote from the movie? Is Fred Flintstone saying yabba dabba?
I love it. Wait, how do you say the woman's name from Star Trek?
I think it's Sinequa.
I thought she was gonna play ball at one point. I thought at one point, I don't know why. There was no reason.
But they couldn't bring her in. They couldn't bring her into the
force field. At force field. I did wish, I will say this, talking about the actual basketball. There were some cool things, but I wish that LeBron got to do some cooler style point stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wish, like, at one point when he, when everybody was going loony, that he unlocked his potential, because that was the one thing they did in the the original Space Jam, is like the cap, the final cap moment was Michael Jordan realizing he was in Toon World and that he could like do things that he couldn't do before, and they, he stretched his arm all the way out to score the dunk, right? I was like, well, you could have upped the stakes in this movie where like LeBron finally is like, I'm not going to just do the fundamentals or whatever. I'm going to actually do what my son has been doing. And like, they kind of do that with the ups, like him jumping on the thing. But I wish he could, but like,
all
I don't know.
He
I was
did
like,
was the ups. And in the opening sequence, you know, in the opening sequence, we see like he's dunking the ball and the ball's on fire. And like when he passes it passes in a laser beam. Like if only he would have. And the way that his son is like is doing the jumping on the thing, and like he has like a cool move that he does with his foot. Like LeBron could have been doing all that stuff. That would have been so cool.
Yeah.
Could have
done some I never thought about that. Yeah,
it would have been. I was like, I wish they had him do some more cooler, crazy things. I mean, of course, you know, like once the Looney Tunes get loony, all that stuff is super fun. It's like we saw it in the first movie. We see it again in this movie, in different ways, and I definitely
also,
like that.
My boy Wiley.
When they first go to the Toon World and Bugs like paints the tunnel and like runs down the tunnel, and then LeBron runs after the tunnel and runs into the wall. Why is that sincere? Okay, here's the thing, you guys. I don't know if y'all laughed at that. I laughed out loud, and then Kat and I were just like, we stopped for a minute and we're just like, why is that always funny? Like we had to stop and talk to each other about
the laws don't make sense.
It's just classic comedy. It's like you expect one thing to happen and something else happens, and that's funny because it's like it broke the logic.
Yeah. And it like became funny. It becomes funny this time because we all know that joke. It just becomes funny that like now it's funny that LeBron didn't go, I'm in Toon World. Let me not try to run down.
He acknowledges it once he hits it. He goes, And like, the moment he hits it. Right. And the thing that's so crazy is like, I did like anytime, Brad, I think you're right. I do like that he became animated because it came way more fun seeing like the animated LeBron James. Also, that animation style was dope as hell because it felt classic, but like new. And also it felt like, especially the way LeBron looked himself, it felt like, I don't know if you guys seen like when young black artists will like sketch like characters, they kind of have like a little edge to them. Like it felt cool. It felt a little cooler. And I was like, this is fire. I also will say the moment LeBron gets, because also he gets to do all the cool shit. Like he gets to dress up as like Neo from The Matrix at one point. You know, he gets to dress up in Harry Potter gear, the animated version of him anyway. And I'm like, that's, he gets to be in Casablanca. Like that stuff is like kind of dope as hell, because let's not forget Casablanca's racist. So.
That was the one thing that was weird. I think in Casablanca, instead of being a cartoon, he was a human.
Was he a human in Casablanca?
He was a human in the things where they were like supposed to be kind of.
Oh, he was a human anytime.
Well,
in any world. Like,
he was human. He was human in Batman too, right?
In the Mad Max.
And he was human in Matrix too, right? The only thing that was odd to me, I guess, was that they go to animated DC World, and so he's animated DC. Okay. I just wasn't tracking that.
Right, because he was animated in animated DC World.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff was fun. I wasn't like, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of
them I was like, this is like the Matrix thing. You already talked about it, Bray, but I was like, this is just the Matrix. Like, it's just the Matrix. Yeah. With Granny,
with Granny. I was like, there's nothing to it. There's not, like, you didn't put any thought in it. It's not, whatever. Like, even Mad Max, even though that made sense for Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner to be in it, I still was just like, it just felt random, but that's fine. It's like, whatever, they get to do their thing. It was very short. It was a montage. I liked when they were in the alien ship. LeBron was like trying to decide who like the character. Like he was like, all right, well, like we'll get Superman and we'll get Iron Giant. And then Iron Giant will get to play with his hero.
Yes, that'd have been great. Also, when Iron Giant came and he was massive, I was like, he'd have been such a good teammate.
Oh, I will say that the we already said this, but that Michael George, where they're just like, he was Sylvester the Cat was like, I got Michael Jordan. And they're like, what? And like, I liked that LeBron. When he started coming in, LeBron kind of lights up too, you know, like, and I was like, that's nice. I like that he like was excited. And then it's Michael B. He's like, you got Michael B. Jordan.
I screamed.
You're going to get Michael A. Jordan.
Also, and the thing is so funny.
Oh, did he say Michael A. Jordan?
Yeah. He said you couldn't get Michael A. Jordan.
He didn't look anything alike. It's hilarious. Well,
I screamed to Kat, if it's not Michael B. Jordan, I'm going to turn this movie off. Like when
it but also, it's so dope. I just loved how Michael B. got hype. Like, I don't know why. I love when characters who seem too cool.
I know, Clark,
you can't lose. And it was like, hey, man, too much? All right, cool. I'm going to just go back to my seat.
No, that was great. His cameo was definitely the best. It was
perfect,
like,
cast. It makes sense.
No, it was perfect. It was like a bit. It was that Bill Murray moment.
But I
thought,
it's so great. It's so funny you say that because I was like, oh man, there's no Bill Murray. I was like, it's Chris because he's like the assistant. He's supposed to be Bill Murray. I was like, nah, he's more of like,
I think he was Wayne Knight.
And I was like, all right, cool. I like when Michael B. showed up, I was like, yo. Michael B. about to be out here balling. And I was like, that is going to be the Bill Murray moment. And then we find out Michael B.'s trash in basketball. That's what I thought. He's like, and then he's like, hey, man, you know, I played football on TV for like 6 years. I should just sit down until y'all have a sequel or something like that. I thought that's how he was going to go. But it's so funny. I thought he was going to be the Murray.
Yeah. That was I love that moment. And they didn't really have a Bill Murray type of, and that's fine. I feel like Chris Davis was giving it his all.
The thing is I can't tell because this is my thing. I'll be honest with everybody at home, all right? I can't tell if he was good or if I was just jealous. That's all, because I was like, man, I ain't know they were auditioning for fucking Space Jam.
I will say this,
I liked him. I thought I maybe legitimately thought he was funny, like, and that like,
okay,
I felt like he knew what movie he was in, you know.
But also, like, I feel like Chris.
You don't think so?
I felt he had a lot to do.
He felt out of place to me. Yeah. I felt like everybody else. It's weird because the movie is very loony and silly, but it was like, I don't know, man. Lil Rel came in, and I thought Lil Rel was hilarious and crushed it. Like,
yeah.
And it was random, but it was like I thought he crushed it. And the Malik stuff felt very forced to me, but it felt like a kid movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he was in the kids movie and I was like, okay, I get that. But then I was like, but I don't know, every other human being is like, they're not quite pushing as much.
Yeah.
I really like his character Tracy from Atlanta, and it just felt like Tracy got another job. Mm-hmm. It was like, it was the same character, and it's just like, I think though, because Brad, I know what you're saying, but I think it feels like that because at least in the original Space Jam, we have Chris Knight there, even in Toon World, to make it wacky and jokes. And then back in the real world, when they cut back, Bill Murray's there to also keep that kind of comedy going. Whereas in this movie, like, Bugs Bunny's the jokes, besides, like, the punchlines. It's so, like, when you go back to Chris is having a good time. And even when him and LeBron's wife are going back and forth, she's kind of in on it. But it just feels so jarring because everything else is so serious. But like, he's back here kind of being slapsticky.
But I will say this, like the Wayne Knight, if he's Wayne Knight, the reason that I feel like Wayne Knight works more as that kind of character is that he's this short white dude who's looking at Michael Jordan like, oh, like you're Michael Jordan. Like he's so enamored with him. You know, whereas Malik isn't that. He's LeBron's assistant, but is also his friend. And then but in the beginning is like being a bad friend. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then he like loses him. And his character just, it wasn't the same. It wasn't quite the same. So I, I don't know. Like, no. the relationship wasn't the same, and I just kind of felt like,
I get what you're saying, Bray. What you're saying is they shouldn't have hired like a 6 foot two dude. They should have hired like a five, you know, average height person. Who listen, is also yeah.
listen, the answer is always the that they could have hired one of us. That's always the answer. They always could have hired one of us.
Well, even so, like if you think about it, like, you know, like, he didn't need this part, obviously, but if it was somebody like Kevin Hart, it would have felt different. Right. Like, right. It would have felt different if it was like somebody who like was like, oh, come on, LeBron. Like, oh, like, even in that scene, even when he's like not being good friend, if he was just like, I don't know, man, like, it's kind of cool because it's like you and like you as Harry Potter. Yeah. Damn. Like, he was Harry
Little
Potter.
Real would have felt different in that part too.
Like, I don't know.
Like, hearing you say that now.
I also just thought, yeah. I also just thought that there was, because when in his first scene, when he first starts that like kind of like erratic, like, oh no, I lost him behavior, it was a little jarring to me. But then by the end of that first scene or whatever, I liked it. But it, to me, it just felt like there actually just needed one scene between the him learning about the algorithm and LeBron not wanting to do it, and then him taking them to Warner Brothers again and them getting lost. Like, there needed, I just needed one more scene in between that to get a little bit more about him being like, I don't know, feeling responsible for them, feeling like one scene that let us know why he would fall down.
He had the scene with the security guard. Well, that's the thing, is that my thing is like, he had that scene with the security guard. Yeah. And again, like, he's on, he wasn't the funny one in that scene to me. The security guard was the funny one.
That's Black Jesus.
You know, like, he was like this unlikable.
That's that dude, Black Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway, but you know, that's neither here nor there. I like I said, I thought the Rel and who's that other announcer? Because he's
it's an NBA. He's an NBA dude. Announcer.
Yeah, and that's the other department. I had no, Kat was like, who's the other guy? And I was like, he does announcements.
Yeah, he does the stuff with like Charles Barkley and Shaq.
You should know this.
Kenny the Jet.
This is some Batman shit. I would have it. This is sports. People say,
what's his Ernie actual Johnson? Name? Why can't I find? Oh yeah, okay, there it is, Ernie. Yeah, Ernie Johnson. That was great. I'm sorry, I know the names of his co-hosts because they're famous basketball players. And he's just the white guy.
Yo, when Rick and Morty showed up, y'all. When Rick and Morty,
something about that. Okay, can I be honest about that?
Something about that was crazy.
It showed the power of Warner Brothers, because Rick and Morty feels, this is going to sound dumb, please correct me wrong, it feels so anti-establishment that moment feels like something Rick and Morty would make fun of Rick and Morty for doing. Like, I feel like in this season, once this comes out, there's going to be a joke about how Rick and Morty had to do that because Warner Brothers made him. And I'm like, I'm looking for that. Because if not, I'm going to be like, what the hell was this?
Yeah, but then I also just feel like Justin Roiland was like, yeah, I'll be in Space Jam. Like, I'll say a couple lines in Space Jam. These characters I created are going to be in Space Jam. Yes, true. You know, like,
true. I mean, I did. Right. Man, they had Taz, baby. That's my favorite one. Who was your favorite growing up? Looney Tune.
Yeah, well, I feel like Taz didn't get to do much in this movie.
He did nothing. They disrespected Taz, man. Marvin the Martian got more love than
Taz. First of all, why wasn't Taz? I mean, I get that, you know, Taz being with Rick and Morty is funny, but why wasn't Taz in the Mad Max world? Like, what? Like, he could have been the Storm.
He could have been the
like,
Storm.
Like, just the Storm is coming, and then
like
it's
I said,
him.
I don't know. I didn't feel like they thought through this
like,
stuff
Taz
that much.
Taz is also, he is the best. I know Marvin's cool. People love Marvin the Martian or whatever.
I mean, that he would have made sense to be.
Why
with
are you saying that? Like, but,
Rick and Morty. Like, that would have like been. That would have made a lot of sense.
No, you know what? Honestly, I grew up in like, like y'all remember we talked about it. Like when they had the Warner Brothers store and they had like, there was an amusement park. What was it like? Is it like there was an amusement park that had a bunch of Warner Brothers characters on it? Was it Six Flags?
It was Six Flags.
Is it Six Flags?
Six Flags. Yeah.
Six Flags. So I remember growing up and my cousin, who everybody loved in my family, I love Taz. So all of a sudden, this nigga always wanted about Marvin the Martian stuff. Anytime we go in the gift shop, got to get Marvin the Martian stuff. They never had Taz. They got tons of Marvin the Martian. And I want Taz to get his light, okay? He needs to get his flowers because he's cool and people think he's not smart because he doesn't speak in English. But, you know, he's a cool dude. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I like Taz. I like Roadrunner.
What's the furry thing? What's the big furry thing? Like the Isn't he just like
Monster? He probably has a name.
Is he? I mean, I know he's a monster. I just don't know if he had a name because he was all up in this movie.
I'm sure he does. Yeah, he was in it way more than he was in the original Space Jam movie.
Probably because he's so tall.
Oh, Gossamer. Also, I was like, thank you, Melissa.
Gossamer. There was also one thing I was looking at, the starting five of Space Jam of the Looney Tunes team. It was LeBron, Lola, Bugs, Sylvester, and Tweety. And I was like, that's your starting five? You got Tweety and Sylvester on your starting five?
Yeah. Why is Tweety and Sylvester on the starting five? Doesn't make any sense.
I was like, what is Bron? You don't want to win. You don't want to win.
Their starting five didn't make any sense.
Why is Gossamer not on the starting five? It was also, Taz not in here?
I will say, like, even though I liked it in terms of story, it was so weird that LeBron kept being like, we got to do fundamentals. I was like, what?
Yeah.
First of all, did you or did you not see the original Space Jam? I can't tell. You guys keep referencing.
That was one of the things that bothered me. So one of the things that bothered me was they referenced the first Space Jam, but then, like, like you would think in 1998 when we see the Looney Tunes bag that LeBron had, like, that's a Space Jam merchandise.
Had also seen the movie.
Right. Yeah, like that he had, you know. And then the other thing that bothered me in this sequence was that, like, they had been referencing the first movie so much, it just felt like it would make sense for the Looney Tunes to be like, listen, we've been through this already. You know, yeah, like, and that they say to him, like, you're two in your blah, 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 blah. You got to let us be us, you know, or whatever. But like the fact that they didn't acknowledge that just felt like it was like, you're just doing the same thing again. And that, you know, that was not as satisfying as it could have been if they would have just acknowledged it somehow.
It also didn't quite make any sense because it was like, you know, like LeBron has to know that they're playing, like, once he knew that they were playing the video game thing, it was just like, why wouldn't you want to be? It was weird that halftime. The other thing, it's weird because I kind of respect it almost that, like, in the original Space Jam, Michael Jordan is the one who gets the pep talk.
Yeah,
he's the one who gets all of the Looney Tunes to believe in themselves, and he does
it's him
that.
And Bugs with the juice. With
him and Bugs with the special juice. And in this movie, it was like LeBron was completely wrong.
Yeah.
Like at halftime was still like, you all suck. And I was like, wow, this is 100% a commentary on him as a player. Yeah. Like, you know, like being like, why am I'm carrying this team. I'm so mad at you guys for not being good. And they're like, just let us be us. And then finally he's like, oh, okay, you're right. That's what I should do. So it was like, oh, wow. Like he didn't have. I don't know. He wasn't the hero in that moment.
Right.
Like, but it gave him more of the story, you know.
Yeah. Which is, and it was like he had to change too.
I will say an interesting thing when we talk about like movies and television shows with black leads. Sometimes what happens is when white people write that, because they want the black person to like be so good that they actually wind up taking away the story arc from that character. And it's like, even though that person's the lead, the like interesting character is the supporting character. They're the ones who have the actual story and the story arc because they're the ones who have a flaw that needs to be overcome. And then the black character doesn't have any flaws and they're just kind of the same throughout the movie, you know? So I was like, even though it was unexpected, I was like, I actually like this. I like that they did that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, they just wrote good story arcs for them. And it's crazy that, like, I don't know, one of the best black story arcs, not best, but like looking at this movie Space Jam and be like, oh man, it was so cool to see a father son, like this black dad have to go through something for his son. And it wasn't like his son is about to sell drugs. His son just wanted to play video games. Like that's literally, it was like, hey dad, I don't want to play basketball. I just want to do these games. Like that's the struggle of this whole thing.
And the video game specifically was something that LeBron had to give up because people were like, and it's just real of like kids today of being like, you know, parents being like, oh, video games is a waste of time. And it's like, actually, it's a career, you know, like a very profitable career. If you just
you can make so
me
much money just playing games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then they win. They win. And then There's no after credit scene, right?
I didn't watch. If there was, because it came up right away, but I don't know if that's HBO Max. But they're like,
well, it was more just like the weird pictures of them.
Yeah, those were funny
in like the real world.
Those
in
were
the real
funny.
World. Yeah. No, man.
Which they didn't explain, by the way, how Bugs Bunny got into the real world. I was like, wait, are we just?
Hey, he's a toon.
He said, no, you really think they're going to get rid of me that easy? All right, cool.
He's a toon.
Well, he's I'm fine tune. That he's alive, but how did he get into the real world?
Right. It would have been great. So this would have been cool. This would have been cool. I would have liked this. So, what if the, what if either the older brother or the younger sister, they actually have a passion for drawing, and they and like a week later, they're like, I drew Bugs, and then somehow that drawing was able to like
got into life.
That's good. That's good. James, you should have been the seventh writer on this movie.
I would have taken that job. I will gladly come in and you know, just look at little pieces and try to move little Hollywood. I will do that. Can I talk to Hollywood for a second?
Go ahead. You talk to Hollywood.
If you're
first.
Already ahead, hiring you it, five and six writers, I will gladly be the sixth, seventh writer. Okay.
wait. Is your Hollywood for a second just a pitch for you?
just asking to be hired.
Listen. Your boy could use a job. I'm gonna say it. Your boy could use a job, and there's just a couple pieces I could have, you know, just put this here, move that, plop this scene right here. You know, bop 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 bop. I got you, Taz. Mate, Taz is the storm in the. I would have done all this,
which I love. I love.
I mean, you know, to quote Space Jam: A New Legacy, "Yabba dabba doo."
Hey man, you can't talk to Hollywood no more. Nope. James.
Hollywood. This is my new bit. My new bit is now. I'm gonna talk to Hollywood.
You can't talk to Hollywood no more. Listen, Hollywood. All I'm gonna say is this: Look, man, Space Jam is great. I love that it's a father-son story. But please do not forget Hollywood. Black people have so many ideas. And I'm talking about black artists specifically. I understand we're redoing Space Jam. I understand we're redoing House Party. I understand we're redoing, what is it? The Wonder Years. I get it. But just know there's so many of us who have like the idea that could be the new classic y'all can reboot in 30 more years. You know? Like we got the juice, baby. And the thing is, every time you're like, oh, why do we got to keep remixing this white superhero to be black? It's like, we got superheroes, baby. We got black superheroes we can pitch all day. Okay, we got sci-fi stuff we can pitch all day. I know Braylock got a sports movie somewhere in there. You know what I'm saying? There's ideas from people, okay, who are black, who don't revolve around our blackness all the time. And it can be us in space. It could be us in some underground, like world that no one even knew exists, you know? It could be us like on our own island that like we're fighting off zombies, but like, oh, we're really good at it. Not because we're black and the zombies don't want to eat us. It could be so many things that are new and fresh and you should let us do it.
Is that a thing that zombies don't want to eat black people?
No, it's a famous sketch from Key and Peele where like everyone turns into zombies, but the zombies don't fuck with black people.
Why don't I remember
so
that
I
one?
Like, they get the cookout. It's like they get to go on the cookout and all this other stuff. Hold on, can't peel.
Oh, yes, I remember that. And also, just to continue my Hollywood talk, I got mad ideas.
Oh, no, stop
those
this.
Ideas Drew was talking about, I got decks on decks. Come talk to a brother. Holla at your boy. Anyway.
Now, thank you so much. It is time. It's time for Red the teams. Cause. What?
I just hadn't said it yet. So.
Wait, what?
Just making sure.
What did you just say?
I was just making sure I said Red Tails because I hadn't said it yet.
Why?
Because I normally talk about it.
Okay. Wow, this is the laziest bit I've ever heard.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
It's time for the cause. We rate and review films. Goodness. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. So if we think it fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think, I don't know if this helped the cause at all, we don't give it anything. Okay. It's not based on how much we like it. On the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for Space Jam, A New Legacy. Three, two, one.
Oh, snap!
Three black fists for Space Jam.
Bray, I didn't know where you were going to go, Bray. I didn't know where you were going to go.
You know what? I was so close to giving it a palm, but then I remembered that the son, Dom.
I'm about to say Dom.
The reason to give it a palm.
The son, Dom.
He's a fist.
Yeah, he did so well, and I think he's got a lot of potential. I don't think this helped. I mean, obviously LeBron. I mean, come on, like LeBron,
Spring Hill. It definitely helped them, but like I helped that. It helped the kid. His next acting job. To say it right now, my friend, I will never watch it, but he is playing Emmett Till, in a new project coming out.
Wow.
Good for him.
Wow.
Not gonna watch it, but. Good for you, brother. I'll buy a ticket or put it on my screen and walk away until it's over. But good for you, brother. Seriously, like he, and also he's only been around for like, when you look at his IMDb credits, it's like one part here, one part there, one part there. And it's like, yo, he built up to this. Like he was on, was it Game Shakers? And then he had one episode of Modern Family. Like he worked his way up, man. Game Shakers, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Just an episode, though. Wasn't on the show.
Yeah, everything was one episode, which was cool. Okay.
Oh, it looks like the Emmett Till thing is one episode, too, right? It's women of the... It's like
that
a,
show. Yeah.
Well, one episode. Oh,
all right. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links to merch. We have link to a defunct Patreon with a year's worth of episodes if you've never seen it. You know, we got some cool stuff. Also, if you rate and review us, give us 5 stars. We'll read your review on the air. This one is by Don Bangs. Finally, I love the podcast and I'm so excited to find a review podcast that is black. I've been catching up on all the old podcasts. If you guys could do the Tomorrow War, it's on Amazon Prime. I know you guys would have fun with that, except for the fact that it stars Chris Pratt.
Yeah, Sam Richardson, yep. Is he like a co-lead?
No.
He's not even a co-lead?
He's very much the supporting character. He's fun, but he disappears for at least half the movie.
Okay.
Great supporting character, though. You can follow me at John Braylock, johnbraylock.com. It's my website.
I'm at James Third Comedy, third is 3RD.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
All right. And I think we might try to review Escape Room. I don't know if that'll be next. I think it's going to be fun. Gerard, do you not like horror movies?
I do, but is it? You
it's
know what it is?
It's a horror movie.
All right. Maybe I missed the episode when you guys did the first one. Because I'm like, it's an escape room, like, based on the escape rooms. It's like, it feels like that Ouija board movie where it's like, I don't need a movie about a Ouija board. You know what I mean?
I would have never seen the movie had we not done it for the podcast. The actual
premise of, it's an escape room, except this room, if you don't escape, you die. That's inherently more exciting than Ouija board, for real.
Yeah. And you know what? It just felt like It felt like really a movie about an escape room. It was going to happen eventually, but since y'all said it's good, I probably should watch the first one.
I think they do a good job with what that premise is, and at the end of the day, it's all it is just elaborate
traps,
elaborate traps where if you don't figure out these clues, you're going to die.
I still think about Deborah Ann Wall's death. It was so sad. She had a Poseidon Adventure death. She was hanging on the thing and she fell. Oh, man, it was too much.
Deborah, I don't know who that actress is, so I don't know.
From True Blood and Daredevil and stuff?
Oh, yeah. She was in Daredevil. You said that.
All right, it's fine.
This girl.
All right. All right, well, we will see you next week.
Peace.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!